Welcome to the Supreme Court of Virginia podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Ben Glass Law and Virginia appellate attorney Steve Emmert. Listening to oral arguments from the Supreme Court of Virginia is one of the best ways to stay abreast of both substantive and procedural law. And today's smart lawyers know that any case, even if it is outside their practice area, can offer a learning opportunity. So, listen, enjoy, subscribe, and leave us feedback.
Good morning, May Police Court. Joe Rainsbury for Appellant HRIP Miller & Rhodes. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. This case presents a narrow issue of interpreting the City of Richmond's 2017 tax amnesty ordinance. My client owns valuable property in downtown Richmond at the site of the former Miller & Rhodes department store. This is a rehabilitated property that qualifies for rehabilitation tax credits. So in 2017, taking those tax credits into consideration, its tax bill was approximately $146,000. That's payable in two installments, one in January and one in June. And HRIP made a timely January payment of $73,000, but it missed the June payment. As a consequence of its delinquency on the June payment, the City of Richmond took away a tax credit worth approximately $500,000. So they're late on $73,000, and the City takes away a previously applied tax credit of about $500,000.
Well, the delta between those numbers really isn't analytically significant, is it? I mean, does a delta between those two numbers matter legally? You either win your case whether it's a dollar different or it's $1 million different, or you lose your case if it's a dollar different or $1 million different.
Sure. On the issue of the interpretation of the ordinance.
So why does it matter to us? It's a $73,000 mistake and they lose $500,000.
Sure. I mean, it matters in terms of how you characterize the imposition and whether it's a penalty or not. But that's, I don't think, presented in this case. What matters here is interpreting the specific language of the ordinance. So, you know, this is a statutory interpretation type case, an ordinance. And so the argument here needs to focus on the actual language of the ordinance. And the ordinance, the language in question defines the kinds of taxes that are covered by this tax amnesty ordinance. And that is, quote, delinquent local taxes described in subsection A owed as of February 1st, 2017. We can ignore the described in subsection A because I don't think there's any dispute that real estate taxes are described in subsection A. But it's important to note that this separates the two clauses, delinquent local taxes, and owed as of February 1st, 2017. So the precise legal issue here is whether this language requires that the taxes, in addition to being owed as of February 1st, 2017, be delinquent as of February 1st, 2017. Now, my client's taxes were owed as of February 1st, 2017. Taxes in the City of Richmond are levied on January 1st, and I think the City acknowledges that the taxes were owed as of February 1st, 2017.
It's your position, Counsel, that the language is ambiguous?
We think it's clear,
Your Honor. You think it's clear? So you're not arguing that it's ambiguous, so we don't need to go to rules of statutory construction.
Sure. Well, we believe it's unambiguous, but to the extent that someone could argue that it's ambiguous, you would go to principles of statutory construction.
That's okay. Make your argument that it's not ambiguous. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Okay. So
is your point in the alternative, if the court were to find it ambiguous, what would you say we should do?
That's correct. I mean, if the court finds that this is somehow unclear in a plain language reading, you would go to ordinary principles of statutory interpretation, one of which is that you don't construe the statute to have useless language in it. And in this particular ordinance, the circuit court held that in addition to being required to have the taxes owed as of February 1st, 2017, the taxes must be delinquent as of that date. That interpretation renders the whole term owed superfluous. I mean, by definition, any delinquent taxes is taxes that is owed. I mean, you can't have a delinquent obligation without having that obligation. So the circuit court's construction of the language here, renders the term owed superfluous.
Now, I couldn't find in tax cases generally, if a statute is ambiguous, you construe it against a taxing authority. If it's an exemption, you construe it against the exemption. Where it's ambiguous because we want uniformity. I couldn't find anything in our cases anyway that deals with an amnesty statute. That is, if it's ambiguous, the thumb is on the scale in favor of one side or the other.
Neither could I, Your Honor. I mean, there is the rule for exemptions that you construe those against the party seeking the exemption.
Right.
But there's nothing for...
one theory would be this is a remedial statute, so if there's ambiguity, you put a thumb on the scale in favor of helping the taxpayers, which was the objective. Or you might say, what's in the nature of an exemption? And so we're going to construe... I just can't think of...
I think you either just apply the general rule for taxation, which is that you construe it against the taxing authority, or you just apply ordinary rules of statutory construction. And in this case, those rules compel a reading of the statute that we propose. But just looking at the structure of this language, the circuit court's construction doesn't make any sense. This has two main clauses, delinquent local taxes, and then owed as of February 1st, 2017. Now, delinquent local taxes, that basically serves as like the subject. It's a noun phrase, and it operates as a unit. And then owed as of February 1st, 2017, that's a predicate. It operates as an adjective. It's an adjective phrase, and that operates as a unit. The internal components of each of those don't affect the meaning of the other. Taking the owed as of February 1st, 2017 language, I mean, that's got a verb, owed, and it's got a prepositional phrase, as of February 1st, 2017. That prepositional phrase only modifies the verb owed. It doesn't go outside that sort of grammatical unit and modify a phrase that occurs way back, several words before in the sentence. Now, how did the circuit court come to its conclusion that this language requires that the taxes be delinquent as of February 1st, 2017? Beats me. The circuit court basically said, it's clear that this statute says it applies to delinquent local taxes owed as of February 1st, 2017. And then it says, therefore, because the taxes were not delinquent as of February 1st, 2017, we lose. I mean, it was a complete non sequitur. It has no basis in the text of the ordinance. And, the city, too, they provide no explanation for why you should construe this prepositional phrase as of February 1st, 2017 to apply to delinquency. So, there's no basis in the structure of this provision, and in fact, rules of statutory construction would go against interpreting it the way the city does. So we submit that the language is clear, unambiguous, and because our client had taxes that were both owed as of February 1st, 2017, and taxes that were delinquent, that it qualified for tax amnesty, and the city should have granted that and restored the tax credit it took away. Okay, no further questions.
Thank you for tuning in to the Supreme Court of Virginia podcast. My name is Ben Glass, and Steve Emmert and I provide these oral argument audios for free as a public service. If you're a fan of the podcast, I'd love to send you my book, Renegade Lawyer Marketing, absolutely free. Just visit www.renegadelawyermarketing.com. benglassreferrals.com, and I'll be glad to ship it to you. This book has helped thousands of lawyers across the country improve their lives and their practices. Again, that's benglassreferrals.com. Thank you for listening, and enjoy these oral arguments from the Supreme Court of Virginia.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. My name is Richard Hill. I'm a senior assistant attorney, city attorney with the City of Richmond, and here with my colleague, Caitlin Weston. We represent the City of Richmond in this matter. I think I agree with Mr. Rainsbury that the issue here is narrow. It involves the interpretation of this particular statute. We believe that we agree with the trial court that the language is unambiguous. It's quite clear that the language of the ordinance specifically applies only to those local taxes that are delinquent and that are owed as of February 1st.
Why would you need both words, counsel, if they are delinquent, they are owed? So why wouldn't it just read taxes that are delinquent as of February 1st? Why do you need both words?
I think the reason for that is because it to make it abundantly clear, I understand the point, and I understand that's the point that's being made, but I don't think that construction satisfies the purpose of this ordinance or of the provision. The purpose of the provision is to essentially put in place a date before which you are entitled to receive the benefit of the amnesty after which. I mean, the taxes that are issued here are the real estate taxes, which in the City of Richmond you can pay in two installments. And there are other taxes in the city that are not in that situation. Some are monthly. The only taxes that the city council wanted to provide an exemption for, the reason for this, and getting back to the question, and this circulate around because I think this is why this is important to what Justice McCullough asked. The amnesty in this case is essentially in the nature of an exemption, because the purpose of the amnesty program here is to create an incentive for taxpayers to pay their bills by providing them relief from penalty and interests. And so the City Council set essentially a line, and they said, February 1st is our line. If you have delinquent local taxes that you owe, in other words, taxes that have
become... Why couldn't the line simply be it was owed on that date and it later became delinquent? What's irrational or what's contrary to the purpose of the amnesty policy to say, okay, here's where I'm going to draw the line. Taxes owed on a certain date, not owed the day before, but owed as of this day, not day after, rather. So, I mean, I don't know if you answered Justice Powell's question, which is there is no such thing as a delinquent tax that is not previously owed. So they added language to this one sentence that makes it appear to be two very different ideas.
I think that if the word that had been used, perhaps, was due, it might be a different...
Well, that's a very fair point.
I mean, I think that... I'm sorry.
It's a very fair point if it said due, but it says owed.
The word owed is being used here simply as a word in the sentence to explain what's being done. You could have eliminated the word owed. I agree. Our position is that it would mean the same thing.
Well, then it's superfluous. We normally don't read words to be superfluous. You put your finger on a canon of construction that cuts against you pretty harshly.
But in this instance, it's simply being used as a connecting word.
Simply being used as what?
As a connecting word in this instance, and the sentence has to be read.
What's it connecting? What is it connecting?
Well, there's two different. Let's look at 26-29 of the city code. The first section of 2629, which is subsection A, states, for the tax year beginning January 1st, 2017, the Director of Finance shall administer, and then it goes on and it says, for delinquent local taxes, comma, and then it limits it and says, except for certain types of taxes owed as of February 1st. So here it says delinquent local taxes, and then down here in E it says the same thing, but without the except. So the delinquent local taxes owed is essentially one. It's one thing. It's a delinquent local tax that you owe as of that date. You owe the city the obligation to pay the delinquent local taxes as opposed to the taxes themselves. Miller and Rhodes did not have to pay the city their second half real estate taxes until June, and they were not delinquent. So the only taxes that were delinquent were those that were delinquent on February 1st. The city council's purpose in this was to say that we're only providing amnesty for taxes and the provision for taxes if they're delinquent, not if they're simply a tax that not if it's simply a tax, because otherwise it would subsume potentially many more taxes and situations throughout the year than those. And they wanted to put a line that was drawn to enhance the ability of the city and provide an incentive for the taxpayers so that the city could, you know, give them an incentive to pay their taxes and try to collect them.
Was the tax that was delinquent as of June 2017 a tax that was owed as of February 2017?
Well, I would argue that in the context of this situation, it was not, because it was assessed and levied, but they did not have to pay it until they did not have to pay the second half portion of it until June.
Assessed and levied, but not owed.
I mean, they would have the tax had to be paid in that year. But they didn't have to pay it until June. So the only part that was required to be paid by February 1st would be the first half.
But if I were to lend you money, $100, I would say, you owe me $100, right? You go, yeah. Please pay me next week. Otherwise, I'm going to be mad and harass you. It's not really going to be a problem until next week, but the whole week you owe me $100. So if the taxes that they didn't give the city in June of 2017 were owed in February 2017, what's wrong with that logic? That appears to be their very simple logic. Other than that's not what you meant to do, which we get. Maybe you didn't. We don't know.
Well, I think that the problem with that, though, is that construction essentially writes the word delinquent out of the...
Well, no, you can't get amnesty of something that's not delinquent. The reason for amnesty is you're in trouble. It's delinquent. They're coming after you. They're going to start seizing assets.
Well, Your Honor, I understand the point. There's different words that are used. The word owed is not again the word due, the word levy. Those are words that are typically used for the context that we're discussing here.
I think if you use the word "do," you would have a far different argument, and would be better considerably. Because if going back to my $100 thing, you owe me the $100, but it's not really due until next week. You don't have to give it to me tomorrow.
Well, Miller and Rhodes in their brief, and then there are references to the city code where the tax code. Well, due is defined as, or it's due and payable. Right, so the taxes in this instance are not payable. So I mean, that's what we do as lawyers, is spend a lot of time parsing words and having these types of discussions, but the statute itself is clear. There's no reason in any of the there's no reason why the statute should not be read in the way that we are suggesting.
So are you suggesting if you substitute due or owed, that might have been clearer for the city?
I'm suggesting
have made it worse, because as of February 1st, that June payment was neither delinquent nor due, was it?
The June payment was due in June.
Right. So if you change owed to due, that means it was not delinquent, nor was it due.
They chose to use the word owed, and our position is they chose to use the word owed to simply delineate that as of February 1st, we are only going to allow amnesty for those taxes, for those individuals who have a delinquency. It's the delinquency that's
right.
It's the
delinquency
city.
Is the one that's giving me trouble.
Right. I get the argument, and I understand the point that's being made that a delinquency would be on something that is otherwise owed. But what's owed to the city as of February 1st is the delinquency. You have a delinquency that occurs, and it becomes owed as of February 1st. And that was and Miller and Rhodes did not fit into that situation. And that's what this language is set to capture. That's the purpose of why it's structured in this manner. And so I mean it's our position that's otherwise there's no reason to draw a line. There's no reason to put a date in this particular instance if you're not going to delineate. And what they're delineating and what they want to be able to do is to say, if you owe money because you're delinquent on it, if you owe a delinquency, what's owed is the delinquency, not the other overall obligation to pay the tax. I think that's a consistent and fair reading of what this states that fulfills the purpose of the statute as well. Unless there's any other questions, I will.
May I ask you one last question? You received a couple of questions from the bench about the favorable or disfavorable canons of construction for remedial statutes, for exemptions, for tax assessment, and all the rest. And it's a rather complex, multi-tiered system. If this court were to think of this language as ambiguous, in your opinion, what is the most applicable canon of construction other than just, you know, the policy of the city is to collect its taxes?
We would agree. I think Justice McCullough laid it out earlier. We would argue that an amnesty in this instance is properly viewed as in the nature of an exemption, and therefore it should be strictly construed against the person seeking it. In this case, Miller and Rhodes is seeking the benefit of the amnesty, and that the language should be construed strictly against the benefit of that. Under these circumstances, I think that's the most. Since we don't have anything particularly on point relating to an amnesty, I think that's the best way to pigeon an amnesty into this particular statutory constructs. I hope that answers your question.
That's very good. Thank you. Thank you.
Just a few points. First, I'm a little bit confused by the argument that the taxes somehow were not owed as of February 1st. That was not the city's position below. And if you look on page 76 of the joint appendix, and this is opposing counsel talking, it says their position is that they owed the taxes as of January 1st, which is true. So they've conceded that the taxes were owed as of January 1st, and certainly as of February 1st, 2017. So I don't think that argument gets them anywhere. In terms of the canons of construction for exemptions, I mean, there are a lot of reasons why people might need tax amnesty. And it's simply not because of exempted property. It's because they just didn't pay their property taxes on time.
Well, it's a little hard to fit in the exemption box in the sense that they still have to pay the tax.
Sure.
They're not being told, nah, we're wiping it off. But it's the penalties and interest is where the amnesty comes in.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's why it's a little mind-bending if we get to ambiguity, which I don't know if we will or not.
Right. And again, we don't think you should. We think the meaning of the ordinance is clear. And, you know, I think if you look at the wording again, I mean, you have these two very distinct clauses. I mean, one is delinquent local taxes, and the other is owed as of February 1st, 2017. And they have independent meaning, and the court should construe them as they're plainly stated. Now, I mean, opposing counsel who's trying to get into the purposes behind the city council enacting this statute, well, the court should presume that the city council intended what the language plainly states. And finally, you know, their interpretation really kind of is a bizarre one. And I think in the circuit court, they acknowledged that it was kind of a quirky interpretation. And let's look at it. For those folks who didn't pay the June 2017 installment, they fall into two classes. One, those who also didn't pay the January one, and those who did pay. Now, under the city's view, only the folks who paid nothing, only the folks who also didn't pay the January installment can take advantage of the amnesty. So the worst tax offender gets better treatment. And that doesn't make any sense. And I'm sorry, one last point. There is a good reason for including the owed as of February 1st, 2017. It's to make clear that this is a one-time offer. We're not going to extend it in the future, so we're going to cut it off here.
But it's just where you, it's where you peg the cutoff, earlier or later. So there's still a cutoff. It's just...
Absolutely right, Your Honor. And it's just to say, this is a limited-time offer. It's only going to apply to taxes that were owed as of February 1st, 2017 or before. Come and take advantage of it now while you can to encourage payment of overdue taxes.
I've got a question for you. What do you say to their assertion that your interpretation of the language makes the word delinquent irrelevant? Irrelevant.
Well, that's not so. I mean, the whole purpose of an amnesty statute is to give relief to parties who have delinquent taxes. So it's very natural for the statute or the ordinance to put in delinquent to identify those who can take advantage of it.
Well, what if you just took the word delinquent out? Wouldn't you still have the same interpretation of the statute as you do? The tax amnesty provision gives a waiver to any civil penalty as a result of local taxes owed as of February 1, 2017.
Well,
you'd only have the civil penalties if it became delinquent. Or
I understand,
delinquent.
But I think the idea is that the taxes now have to be delinquent. I mean, it can't be the case that 3 years ago you had delinquent taxes and then you paid them off, you paid the penalty, and now you're coming back and say, hey, I want that relief now.
That's why
the taxes have to be outstanding and delinquent.
But that's why it says owed as of February 1, 2017. It wouldn't be owed if you'd already paid it.
I think that's right. I mean, I think the function of delinquent is just to point out that this is, I mean, it's an amnesty statute, so we're only going to apply this to delinquent local taxes.
Can you get amnesty of a tax that is technically owed, but it's not yet delinquent?
No, because the purpose is to eliminate the penalty, and there's no need for an amnesty if it's not yet delinquent.
The statute's limited to delinquent taxes because that's the only thing you get amnesty for.
Exactly. There are no further questions?
And so that would be true whether or not you had the word delinquent in there or not. That's the point I was making.
Right. And I think the response is that this is, it's just in the nature of an amnesty statute that it applies to delinquent taxes. And so it's just identifying that this is the purpose of this particular ordinance.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, counsel. Please call the next case.
Would you hire an appellate lawyer to handle your jury trial? Of course not. Trying cases requires a different focus, a different way of speaking, even a different way of thinking. from handling appeals. So why would you ask a trial lawyer to handle your appeal? When it comes time to appear in an appellate court, trust a lawyer who specializes in appeals only. Steve Emmert limits his practice to appeals. Other lawyers consult him when they face tough problems in the appellate maze. Focus on what you do best. Call Steve Emmert at 757-965-5021 direct to find out how he can help you. Again, that's Steve Emmert at 757-965-5021.